Hey everyone, welcome back for another deep dive. We always try to bring you the most interesting research out there, and today's topic is no exception.
It's a big one.
It really is. We're going to be looking at advertising.
Yeah.
And you've pulled together some fascinating stuff, honestly. Yeah. There are so many different angles to this.
There are.
And, I think one of the things that really stuck out to me in the research that we're going to look at today is this whole idea that, like, all advertising, it's just
mind control.
Yeah, straight up mind control, brainwashing the whole nine yards.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see, like, how much of that is, maybe a bit of hyperbole.
Right, yeah.
And how much of it, kind of reflects the reality that we're all swimming in when it comes to all the ads we see every single day.
For sure. And, I think it's a really interesting thing to think about, right? Because on the one hand, we have this idea of, like, mind control, which is a very strong term.
Mm-hmm.
That evokes, a lot of negative connotations. Mm. And then on the other hand, you have advertising, which is something that we're all exposed to constantly. So I think it's helpful to maybe think about this not as a black and white issue, but as a spectrum.
Okay.
Right? Like, there are definitely some forms of advertising that are more manipulative than others. And I think the goal of this deep dive is really to help our listeners, develop the tools and the awareness they need to kind of navigate that spectrum and to be able to make more informed decisions about, the products and services that they choose to engage with.
I like that. I like that a lot. So instead of just saying all advertising is bad or all advertising is good,
right?
It's more like, let's figure out where on this spectrum things land.
Exactly, yeah.
And how could we protect ourselves, I guess, from the stuff that's a little more nefarious?
Absolutely. And I think, one of the ways that we can do that is by understanding how advertising works, right? Like, what are the techniques that advertisers are using to try to influence our behavior?
Okay. Well, speaking of techniques, this excerpt right here, it talks about this sort of three-step process that a lot of advertisers use. Mm-hmm. And I thought this was, like, a really great breakdown, actually. Yeah. So first, it's all about targeting.
Mm-hmm.
So finding out, who are the specific people that you want to reach with your message.
Right.
And then once you know who you're targeting, it's all about attention. So, grabbing their attention and making sure that your ad is the one that, stands out in the sea of all the other information that they're bombarded with every day. And this is where, the flashy visuals, the catchy jingles, all that comes in.
Totally. And, it's interesting to think about how that's changed over time, right? Like, if you think about advertising from, the 1950s, it was very different from the advertising that we see today. And a lot of that has to do with, the different mediums that are available. So, back in the day, it was mostly print, radio, television. But now, with the internet and social media, advertisers have so many more ways to reach us. And I think that's part of what makes it so overwhelming, because we're just constantly being bombarded with these messages from all different directions.
Yeah. And that's before we even get to step three of the process.
Yeah.
Which, this excerpt calls it implanting the desire.
Mm-hmm.
So once they've got your attention, now they've got to make you feel like you absolutely need whatever it is that they're selling.
Right. They need to create a need sometimes where there wasn't one before.
Exactly. So, all this talk about mind control.
Right.
When I look at these three steps, it does make you wonder, right?
It does. And, I think it's important to remember that advertisers are very sophisticated. They have access to a lot of data about us, about our behavior, about our preferences. And they're using that data to craft these messages that are designed to be as persuasive as possible.
Okay. So let's talk about some of the specific ways that they do that. What are some of the, most common techniques that you've come across?
So one of the most common techniques is the use of celebrity endorsements, right? Like, you see a famous actor or athlete using a particular product, and you think, well, if it's good enough for them, it must be good enough for me. And that plays on our desire to be like those that we admire, which is a very powerful psychological force. Another common technique is the use of emotional appeals. So, advertisers will try to evoke certain emotions in us, like happiness or sadness or fear, because those emotions can make us more likely to buy something.
Okay, so that's like the Sarah McLachlan ASPCA commercial.
Exactly. You see those sad puppies and kittens and it makes you feel bad and you want to donate money to help them. And that's a very effective technique because it taps into our empathy. And then another common technique is the use of scarcity tactics. So, you see something like limited time offer or only a few left in stock. And it creates a sense of urgency, makes you think, well, I better buy it now before it's gone.
Right. Don't miss out.
Exactly. And that plays on our fear of missing out, which is another very powerful psychological force. So, you know, these are just a few examples of the many techniques that advertisers use. And it's important to be aware of them so that we can recognize when they're being used on us and we can make more informed decisions.
So, you know, it's starting to sound like maybe like this whole mind control thing is not as far-fetched as it initially seemed.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely makes you think, right?
It does.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, one of the sources that you sent over actually had a really good point. Like, advertising is not always a bad thing.
Absolutely.
There are definitely some positives to it.
For sure. And, you know, I think it's important to acknowledge that. Like, for example, think about public service announcements, right? They can be incredibly effective in raising awareness about important social issues, promoting healthy behaviors, encouraging people to get vaccinated. So in those cases, advertising can be a really powerful force for good.
Absolutely. And this source also talked about how advertising can be really helpful in terms of innovation, too.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know, we're constantly being introduced to new products, new services, things that we maybe never even knew we needed.
Exactly. And sometimes those products and services can actually make our lives better. You know, like think about the smartphone, right?
Yeah.
When it first came out, nobody really knew what to do with it. But now it's become such an integral part of our lives.
It's true. I remember when I first got a smartphone, I was like, what am I going to do with this? This thing's kind of big. I don't know.
Yeah.
And now, like, you know, it's an extension of my hand.
I know. And a lot of that is due to advertising, right? Because advertising helped to create a demand for smartphones. It showed us all the cool things that we could do with them. And it convinced us that we needed to have one.
Yeah. So it's like advertising can be a driving force for, you know, for spreading the word about new things and for encouraging innovation and,
right.
And kind of like helping to, you know, push society forward in some ways.
Exactly.
But then there's that flip side.
Right. And that's where the ethical considerations come in.
Yes.
You know, because at what point does persuasion cross the line into exploitation?
Hmm.
And is there a difference between meeting needs and creating them?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, is it ethical for advertisers to use these sophisticated psychological techniques to convince us to buy things that we don't really need, or to spend more money than we can afford, or to feel bad about ourselves if we don't have the latest and greatest product? These are all really important questions that we need to be asking ourselves as consumers.
So it's like, on the one hand, you know, we have advertising that can be a really positive force.
Yeah.
But then on the other hand, you have advertising that can be, you know, kind of manipulative and exploitative. And it's up to us, like as individuals, yeah. To kind of like try to figure out where things land.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that can help us do that is to really pay attention to our own experiences, right? Like, have you ever been influenced by advertising in a way that you later regretted?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or, you know, have you ever bought something that you didn't really need just because you saw a really persuasive ad?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Yeah, we've all been there. And I think those experiences can be really valuable learning opportunities, right? Because they can help us to identify our own vulnerabilities to advertising and to develop strategies for resisting those manipulative tactics.
You know, this actually ties in really well with another point that one of the sources made, which was this distinction between advertising for things that you genuinely need, but maybe didn't know existed.
Right.
Versus advertising for things that you absolutely don't need, but are now convinced that you want.
Yes.
Like, that's a huge difference.
Huge. And, you know, it can be really hard to tell the difference sometimes.
It really can.
Because advertisers are so good at making us think that we need things that we don't.
Right. And they're so good at, like, you know, tapping into those, like, deep-seated desires or fears or insecurities. And, like, using those to manipulate us.
Absolutely. So I think it's important to be really critical of advertising messages and to ask ourselves, you know, do I really need this? Or am I just being persuaded by a clever marketing campaign?
So I think we've covered a lot of ground here today.
We have.
We've talked about advertising as this incredibly powerful force.
Yeah.
We've talked about, you know, the spectrum of ethical implications.
Right.
And this whole, you know, challenge of figuring out the difference between our needs and our wants.
For sure.
And, you know, I think the key takeaway here, for me at least, is that, like, knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
The more we understand about how advertising works, the better equipped we are to kind of see through the smoke and mirrors and make choices that are truly aligned with our values.
Totally. And I think it's also important to remember that we're not powerless in this situation, right?
Right.
Like, we can choose to opt out of certain types of advertising. We can be more mindful of the messages that we're consuming. And we can support companies that are advertising ethically.
So, like, do your research, know what you're getting into, and vote with your dollars.
Exactly. And, you know, I think the more that we as consumers start to demand more ethical advertising, the more that advertisers will be forced to respond.
It's true. It's like supply and demand.
Yeah.
If we don't buy into the hype, they're going to have to find a new way to sell us stuff.
Right. And hopefully that new way will be more honest, more transparent, and more respectful of our intelligence.
I hope so, too. Well, on that note, I think it's time for us to wrap things up. But, you know, before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one final thought.
Okay.
You know, we've talked a lot about the psychology of advertising and how advertisers use all these different techniques to try to influence our behavior.
Yeah.
But what about the psychology of us as consumers?
Interesting.
Like, what are the underlying reasons why we're so susceptible to these messages in the first place?
Right.
You know, is it just because we're, like, inherently materialistic?
Right.
Or is there something deeper going on? Something about our need for belonging, or our desire for status, or our fear of missing out? You know, I think it's a really fascinating question.
It is. And it's one that I think we could probably spend a whole other deep dive exploring.
We totally could. But for now, I'll leave that question with you, our listeners.
There you go.
Think about it. And until next time, stay curious.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.